Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Come on, let's give him a big, big shout and thank him for everything he's done. Come on, Rock Church, you can do a little bit better than that. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isn't he good? I think he is. Psalm 121, verse 1 says, I lifted up my eyes to the mountains because this is where my help comes from. It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. And I love that the psalmist would say that in his moment of need, that he would lift up his eyes to the Lord, knowing that this is where your help is coming from. Friend, I don't know where you've been looking for your help, but I know that miracles come from God. That's the truth of it. And if I could lift for you, truly, if I could lift for you, I would do it. But the psalmist said there's something inside of him. He said, I'm going to lift up my eyes to the Lord because this is where my help is coming from. Come on, friend, if you need a miracle today, why don't you just lift your hands? Doesn't matter what miracle it is. God can do it. And Lord, I just pray right now, Father, for the power of God to fall in this place again, afresh and anew. And Lord, for those who need a miracle to do with finance, maybe that is the miracle, to sell a house or buy land, pay increase, a new job. Lord, that your hand is not too short to do the thing that is required in their life. Or maybe the miracle is to do with your heart. Maybe it's been broken. Maybe there's fear or disappointment around your life. When you put your head on the pillow night after night, there's regret. But you know, the Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Or maybe today, the doctors have given you a bad report. They said you've got cancer, or this is your new forever. You're going to have this disease or condition forever. Friends, we know that it's simply not true, because our Bible says, by His stripes, we are healed. And so we lift our hands. Come on, if you need something, lift up your eyes. Lift up your hands to the Lord today. You don't have to wait to the end of the service for God to touch you. God can touch you right here, right now. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it in Jesus' name. Come on, give God a big shout and thank Him for everything He's done. Come on, isn't He good? Amen. All right, go ahead, have a seat. Turn to somebody and say, I like Pastor Andrew already. Just say it again because you didn't mean it the first time. Well, it is good to be back at the Rock Church. And what a great moment this is. And I love it here. I want to move to America if I could, but God's got me in Wollongong. And how about that? But you know what? Wollongong is a great city. It's an hour south of Sydney, Australia. We're right on the beach. The whole coast is just beautiful golden sand. So I am suffering for Jesus in Wollongong. But if there's any missionaries that want to come and join us, you're more than welcome. But you know what? It is great honor to be here. And I love your pastors. Aren't they the best? Dan and Jess. And I like them because every time I'm around Dan, he's bragging about his church in a good way, saying that he's got the best people. And it truly is, I think, a credit to him that when I think about the churches around these days, there would be few churches in the world, actually, that would take a weekend to believe for your miracle, to believe for the miraculous, and to take that risk of saying, you know what, we're going to kind of really stretch and believe God that Sunday night, miracle after miracle is going to be happening. And but your pastor loves you so much that he'd fly somebody all the way from Australia to stand with him and believe God for your new day. And I'm telling you, you are in good hands with your pastor, Pastor Dan. And you know, who knows that Pastor Jess is just a little bit nicer? Isn't she so beautiful? Like when that video came on, she was like an angel, isn't it? She comes on. She's made for TV. She's like shine. I want to come to their women's conference. I was like, wow, she's so nice. Is she going to be nice to me like that? And but you know, you've got the best pastors. The truth is that Pastor Dan told me a little secret, because like all good pastors, we normally punch a little bit above our weight as far as who we marry. And Dan said, you know, he was praying, saying, God, how did I marry my beautiful bride? And God spoke to him, you know, and really clearly. And God said, yeah, Dan, it's because you tithed while you were younger. And Dan was like, mate, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And it made perfect sense, because he gave 15% when he was younger. So God gave him a little upgrade, a bit better than most. If you're sitting beside a 10%er, that's your fault. I can't, what can we do? We can only do so many miracles, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But we found out that Jess, Pastor Jessica, never gave. And that's why she ended up with what's a little bit awkward, isn't it? Anyway, so a little bit naughty. But anyway, it is good to be here. And of course, Pastor Jim and Deborah, just legends. And I remember speaking with Pastor Deborah at our first conference together in Orange County. And I've heard your pastor for many, many years. And my wife loves Pastor Deborah. And so I was a little bit intimidated, because she's so good. And I remember just this awesome connection coming. She says, I want to invite you to our church and see if we can make something happen. And I was so, so excited, because for me, Pastor Jim is like the man of God, you know what I mean? And he can do no wrong. And Deborah's, you know, the two of the best speakers in the world, and the best church in America. And what an amazing opportunity. And I was like, I've never fasted so much in all my life. I remember the first time, my knees were having fellowship. But everybody, including you, made me feel so welcome. And I honor you, and I honor your pastors. Thank you so much for allowing me. Thank you for being my friends and allowing me to be here. As I said, I've got a beautiful family. I'm married of 20 years last month. I think we've got a photo of my... There's Janine. That's me. And obviously, Sam's in the gray shirt. He's turning 16 today. And there's Jonathan, my 13-year-old. And Samuel is single. So we're taking applications now. And there's Sam. And he won... The blue ribbons are what he won in his athletics. So that, that's 100, 200, 400, 1800 meters, 1500 meters. I think he got third in something, and second in shot put or something like that. And then the next one is like his the nationals or the state, where he won 1-1-1-1-1. He's just showing off a little bit in a school uniform. But I like him. He's a good guy, isn't he? Happy birthday, Sam, if you're watching. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning, but sometimes he sneaks out of bed and watches me online, so he's a good boy, and I like him. I've got some... What happened? Did I miss a screen? No. All right, I think something else was happening. I've got some USBs, which are in this little can, and in here is like 13 messages in each. Each one of them tells, this one in particular tells my story, how I was healed of leukemia. At the age of 13 to 18, I was diagnosed with leukemia. And when I was 15 years old, right in the middle, I became a Christian in a little Presbyterian church. I was brought up Catholic all my life. And it was an amazing moment for me to ask Christ to come into my life. I'm amazed how one prayer can change everything. The one prayer, you're not going to heaven, and then one minute, the next you are. Like, in one minute you've got leukemia, and then the next prayer you're not. One minute you're in a wheelchair, and now you're walking. I'm always amazed how powerful prayer is. And my parents had organized when I was 18 years old for my Catholic priest to come and give me my last rites, preparing me for burial, when the doctors told me that I was terminal. Who knows, that's a bad day. That's a flat-out bad day. But moments after that, my youth pastors came and said, we believe in a different report. We believe that God can heal you. Thank God we're in a church that believes in miracles. Thank God for that. Thank God for the Rock Church. That's what I'm talking about. And because of their prayer, my very next blood test, everything turned around. And that's why I know that God can heal people. And there's a cheekiness inside of me, a belief, because God did it for me. I know He can do it for other people. And and I'm believing that tonight especially, we're going to see many, many people come to that place of the miraculous, their breakthroughs coming. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm an 11 o'clock service person. Don't make that mistake. Come and experience the power of God in your life, and I know that lives are going to be changed. And then we've got this other message with messages called Be Healed. We've run about, many healing conferences. And out of all of those conferences, we've run thousands of messages. I picked the top 11 messages to help you not only have a miracle, but keep your miracle and maintain your miracle. Because it's not just about receiving the miracle in your life, it's about living in the miraculous. And the Bible says that you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what you're talking about, what you're thinking about, locates you. And that's where you're heading. And that's why it's really super duper important that if you need a miracle, actually if you're a Christian, that you should read the Bible every day. Because it's the only thing that transforms your life into a brand new space of belief and faith. And also my car with these USBs is just like messages after messages after messages of faith. And I resource myself. So if I'm doing it, I know that you need to as well. And so if you turn your Bibles with me to Mark 10 and verse 46, I want to talk to you on the subject of interrupting heaven. Anybody want to interrupt heaven today? I think we already are, but let's give it another good nudge. I want to talk to you on the story of blind Bartimaeus. And it says this: when they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples were together with a large crowd, everybody say large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting there along the roadside begging. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted even more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and called him. So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he is calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he leapt to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. Maybe that is the question that God is asking you today. And what would you like him to do for you if you had something inside of you? What's on the front of your mind? What do you need? Is it the miracle to do with finance? Is it to do with your broken heart? Is it to do with a healing? What could it be? And you know, even though it would seem that God would already know, he still asks the question, "What do you want from me today?" And the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you." Everybody say, "Your faith." It was his faith. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You see, I believe that we should never let the crowd determine your destination. In verse 10:46, it says, together with a large crowd. You know, all the way through scripture, crowds have been mentioned. We know the story of a lady who was 12 years with an issue of blood, and she shouldn't have been there. And another beggar kind of person, somebody who was unclean. But she had to push past the crowd, and to touch his garment was all that was required for her miracle to come to place, because she said in her heart, "If I was to touch his garment, I'd be healed." You know, a crowd doesn't need to be even a large group of people. A crowd can be 1,000 voices in your head that are just whispering to you and shouting at you, saying, "You know what? It's never going to happen. It's not going to work. Everything's going to be a disaster. The child's never coming back to Christ." 1,000 voices shouting at you. But don't listen to the crowd. Listen to the Lord. Listen to the Bible. Listen to great teaching. Come to church. You know, when you come to the rock, you never have to be alone again. Somebody can minister to you. Somebody can pray for you. A good voice can speak into your life. You know, the crowd is a fickle thing. The crowd has no regard for your well-being. The crowd never visits you. The crowd will never pray for you. The crowd will pass you by. The crowd
is never full of faith. The crowd is fickle. One minute they're laying palms on the road singing hallelujah, praise him, as Jesus walked into Jerusalem. The very next moment, the same crowd is yelling out, crucify him. The crowd is double-minded. They'll love you one minute, they'll not so much. The crowd's like a sporting arena. When you're going good, everybody loves you. When you miss a hit, well, you're down the road. The crowd. You know, your shout has the ability to interrupt heaven. And I think that is true. That inside this guy in Mark 10:47, he began to shout. Friend, is there something inside of you? Is there something inside of you that says, no, today, this is the day. A miracle must happen to me. I refuse that this is my forever. That something has to turn for me, a shout. You know, when I was in hospital, and when I was 13 years old, I remember mum and dad looked like Star Wars creatures when they walked in, because the whole room had to be sterile environment. They washed all the walls down with alcohol just to make sure there was no germs. And I remember as a young man just lifting up my hands and saying, God, why do you hate me? Why are you killing me? Why are you doing all these bad things to me? Thinking that somehow God was playing some mean trick on me. And then I remembered a song in my Sunday school days about a God who would open blind eyes and deaf people would hear. And I remember lifting up my hands as a 13-year-old and saying, God, you know what? I won't drink like my brothers drink. I won't sleep around like they do. I'm the youngest of 8 in my family. It's very cold in New Zealand. That's why there's so many children. Some of you got that, some of you didn't. But I remember when I prayed that prayer, when I shouted out to the Lord and said, God, I will do whatever you want. And I remember saying, God, if you were to send me to the ends of the earth, I'll go. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I had no idea what I was praying, but I began to pray that God would do something. Have you ever tried to bargain with God? God, if you do this, I'll do that. It's interesting that sometimes he honors it. I remember feeling warmth come all over me. And I knew that God had touched me even as a young 13-year-old. Is there a shout inside of you? Is there a tenacity today that says, you know what? I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving until something happens. I'm coming back tonight. I'm gonna push these guys out of the front row. I'm gonna get to the front row. I'm gonna make sure that healing evangelist, you know what I mean? Like you're gritting your teeth. You get in church early, you've got your biggest Bible. You know what I mean? There's a shout inside of you. What does a shout look like? A shout doesn't need to be like an audible shout. I'm talking about an inward grit that says, you know what? God, you're real. And I'm pushing through today. I'm pushing past that crowd. I'm pushing past the crowd. The devil always shouts back. He says that many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Man, ain't that the truth? You know, I love that Walt Disney created that character, Donald Duck. And I talk about it a lot when I travel because it's such a great picture that when Donald Duck is about to do something good or bad, the angel duck appears on one side and the devil on the other. Who knows what I'm talking about? I don't know how Walt Disney did it, but he articulated spiritual warfare perfectly. We know that the devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But God has come that you'd have life and life in all its fullness. I can tell you right now, friends, that the devil does not want your marriage to be blessed. He does not want you to be healed today. He does not want you to be authentic in your Christianity. He does not want you to become a Christian today. He wants you to remain beaten up, broken, and depressed. And he will shout at you and whisper lies to you to keep you the same. He will appeal to your pride, sir, and say, do not bow, do not give in to the Lord. He will try to tell you that your secret is safe. But we know that God sees everything. You know, people, I was praying for a friend in Hillsong I was at a church in Hillsong, and it's a pretty big church, and many people had already given their lives to Christ, and we prayed for lots of people. And it was my fifth service in a row, and over, I think, about 1,000 people had already come to Christ. So lots of prayer had happened. My throat was so sore and hoarse, and I was walking off tired, and I saw a lady who was in a wheelchair. And I remember just thinking to myself, oh, I may have missed her, so I'm just going to ask. And the pastor was just giving some notices. So I leant down and I said, sweetheart, have I prayed for you? Has somebody prayed for you? And she said, nobody's prayed for me yet. And I was thinking, okay. I said, what's happening? She said, I've 21 years in a wheelchair and I haven't walked since a car accident. And I said, oh my gosh. I said, okay, we're going to pray for you. And it's funny, as soon as I began to pray for her, I can hear God talking to me about her life. But straight away, another voice came and said, Andrew, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. It's funny how I can hear God and I can hear the devil at the very same time. I'm wondering if I'm a healing evangelist and I have that little problem. I wonder if some of us have that problem as well. Come on, somebody. Do you know that God's talking to you, but there's other voices talking to you as well? I want to tell you, you're not by yourself. You're not alone. But you can push through those voices and stretch and see a miracle come to you. I remember just praying for her. And I know that as I'm praying, I'm saying things like this: in the name of Jesus, devil, get off! And people are thinking, man, he's a powerful man of God. He's delivering her. No, friends, I'm delivering myself. I'm not even joking. I'm telling the devil, get off in the name of Jesus. That little Donald Duck, he's as real as you can imagine, but I'm telling him, this is the day the Lord's made for this girl, and I'm going to push through. I'm going to believe as much as I can for her. You think that I'm these healing evangelists are celebrities? No, we're demon possessed, not quite, but you know, we've got spiritual warfare. You know what I mean? You've got to fight for your miracle and fight for other people's miracles and push past that crowd and those invisible voices. She starts weeping. This lady starts weeping. I said to her, you know, are you okay? She said, I feel tingling in my legs. I said, when's the last time you felt tingling in your legs? She said, 21 years ago. And I said, what would you like to do? She said, I'd like to stand. I said, I would like you to as well. And so she stands and begins to walk. And, you know, and I'm just like, wow. Because every miracle is wow, isn't it? It's like, wow. And what was amazing about that whole story is her carer, the person who's looked after her, bathed her, took her shopping, lives at her house, is a Muslim lady who brought her to church. And she said, I've heard about Jesus. I heard he was the healing God, but I didn't believe that Jesus was real until today, because this was impossible without God. And she gave her life to Christ. Come on, somebody, give God a big shout, just if you believe that. Come on, give him a shout if you believe that God can do it. Push through into your brand new day today.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.